A Thousand Ships, written and read by Natalie Haynes. A deafening crack awoke her and she caught her breath. She looked around for the baby before remembering that he was no longer a baby, but had seen 5 summers come and go while the war raged outside the city walls. He was in his own room, of course he was. Her breathing slowed, and she waited to hear him cry out for his mother, terrified by the thunderstorm. But the cry did not come. He was brave, her little boy. Too brave to cry out as a lightning bolt, even if it was hurled by Zeus himself. She wrapped the coverlet over her shoulders and tried to guess what hour of the night it was. The pitter-patter of rain was growing louder. It must be early morning because she could see across the room. But the light was peculiar, a fat yellow colour which caught the dark red walls and painted them an ugly, bloody shade. How could the light be so yellow unless the sun was rising? And how could the sun fill her rooms when she could hear the rain falling on the roof? Disorientated by her recent dreams, it was several moments before she realised the acrid tang was in her nostrils, not her imagination. The crash had not been thunder, but a more earthly destruction. The pitter-patter was not rain, but the sound of dried wood and straw crackling in the heat. And the flickering yellow light was not the sun. Realising the danger she was in, she leapt from her bed, trying to undo her previous slowness. She must get outside and away from the fire. The smoke was already coating her tongue with its greasy soot. She called for her husband, Aeneas, and her son, Eurylion, but they made no reply. She left her small bedroom, the slender cot with its red-brown coverlet that she had so proudly woven for herself when she was first married, but she did not get far. She caught sight of the flames through the small high window just outside her bedroom door, and all speed slid away from her feet into the floor. It was not her home which was ablaze. It was the citadel, the highest point of the city of Troy, which only watchfires or sacrificial flames or Helios, god of the sun travelling overhead with his horse-drawn chariot, had ever lit before. Now fire was jumping through the columns of stone, so cool to the touch, and she watched in silence as part of the roof caught, and a sudden shower of sparks flew from the wood, tiny whirling fireflies in the smoke. Aeneas must have gone to help battle the flames, she thought. He would have run to offer assistance to his brothers, his cousins, carrying water and sand and anything they could find. It was not the first fire which had threatened the city since the siege began. And the men would do anything, everything, to save the citadel, site of Troy's most prized possessions, the treasury, the temples, the home of Priam, their king. The fear which had driven her from her bed ebbed as she saw her own house was not ablaze. She and her son were not in danger, but, as so often during this endless war, her husband was. The sharp fear for survival was replaced instantly with a familiar, pinching anxiety. She was so used to seeing him go out to fight the pestilence of Greeks who had been encamped outside the city for 10 long years, so used to the dread of watching him leave and the crippling fear of waiting for him to return, that now it settled on her almost comfortingly, like a dark bird perching on her shoulder. He had always come home before, she reminded herself. Always. And she tried to ignore the thought which the bird squawked unbidden into her mind. Why should the past be any guarantee of the future? She jumped as she heard another monstrous crash, louder surely than the one which had woken her. She peered around the edge of the window, looking out over the lower parts of the city. Now she saw that this was not a fire, like other fires,